We are up to Perek Tes. Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Tes. Umalka Shiva, Shoma Eshema Shlomo Vatovo Lenasos Eshlomo Vichidos Birushalayim. Okay, we begin the sugya Malka Shiva. Okay, thanks. We begin the sugya of Malka Shiva. Malka Shiva was a queen. Seemingly, according to the simple interpretation, she was a woman. We'll discuss what the Gemara says about her, or about him, for that matter, in a moment. But this queen was obviously a very, very wise woman. Chazal seemed to indicate that she was a match in Chochmah for Shlomo. At least she thought so. And at least in the world, perhaps she was recognized as being the wisest of all. The nation of Shiva was the wisest of all the nations, and she in particular was a very clever woman. Shama, she heard, Eshema, the report. Shema means the reputation of Shlomo. Vatova lenasos Shlomo, she came to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to test, to see if this report is accurate. Lenasos Shlomo v'chidos, with riddles. None of the riddles are recorded here by the Mefarshim, but Rashi does allude and tells us that in Mesech, that in the Medrash Targum Sheni on the Megillas Esther, and Mecholi probably familiar with this, that in the Midrashim that are connected to Megillas Esther, the riddles are presented. One riddle, if I remember, I saw in the art school, one riddle that he cites is, she said to him, "What comes in seven, what gold leaves in seven, comes in nine, then something about two, and then one." A whole bunch of numbers. Seven, nine, two, and one. And the answer, Shlomo on the spot said, the seven refers to a woman's cycle of nida. A woman's body produced the menstrual cycle of 7 days. A woman is in nida for 7 days. Blood comes forth. And then after the nida cycle is over, she can become pregnant. And then she keeps the child in her womb for 9 days. And then when the child is 9 months, and then when the child's born, she nurses the child with two dadim. And then the child eats with one mouth. Okay, riddles along that type. These are not the type of riddles that, say, we are familiar with, but these were the riddles of the day. And she tested Shlomo with these riddles, and Shlomo got all the riddles, answered them correctly. Similar to the riddles we have by Shimshon. Shimshon also, and that riddle is recorded in the Pasek. Shimshon Agibar, he tested the Pelishtim, and the Pelishtim tortured his wife until they captured his wife, and they persuaded her to torture Shimshon until Shimshon would reveal the answer to the riddle, things like that. She came with a retne, a very significant retne that came to Yushlaim Ma'od, Ugmalim, and she came with gifts. Camels, noisim, carrying the samim, spice, and gold, laroiv, in abundance, the evan, yikar, and precious stones. Vatavo el Shlomo vataber imo, she came to Shlomo, she spoke to him, eskol ashehoya im levavo, everything that was in her heart. There was nothing that she withheld from Shlomo Melech, she spoke to Shlomo. Let's read a few psukim. Vayagel lo Shlomo eskol divareha. Shlomo responded to Malka Shvo, everything that she wanted, all of her words, all of her requests. V'loy nelam davar mishlomo, there was nothing that was withheld from Shlomo, asher lo higilo, which he did not reveal to her. Pasuk Gimel, Vatere Malka Shiva, Eis Chochma Shlomo, she took in the wisdom of Shlomo, the Habayis Asherbon, and his beautiful palace. Umachal Shulchano, she observed the food of his table, Umoshav Avodov, and how his servants, they were stationed, they sat to Mamad Misharsov, and how they stood, the Misharsim, how they stood before the king, Umal Bushehem, and their clothing. We'll see in Rashi all these different interesting things. Umashkov, his drink, Umal Bushehem, and their clothing. So Umal Bushehem over here appears twice. Okay, in their clothing, Va'aliyasoy, and Rashi will explain why it says it twice in a moment. Va'aliyasoy Asheryal Beis Hashem, and how he would ascend. There was some form of ramp, or some type of magical ramp, where Shlomo used to go from his private home to the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo's palace, which for whatever reason is not discussed at all in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The description, the details of Shlomo's palace are presented in Sefer Melachim in great detail, and in Sefer Divrei Hayamim the entire thing is left out. But the one thing we do mention a little over here is that between his house and the Beis HaMikdash there was some type of ramp, and the details of this ramp are not lost from us, but obviously it was done with tremendous chokhmah, tremendous technology that we have no understanding of, and she was very impressed with this ramp that Shlomo used to ascend to the Beis HaMikdash. And after listening to all of these things, she no longer had any spirit. She was so overwhelmed with Shlomo's Chachma that she lost her breath. Let's take a look at the words of the Mitzudos, then Rashi, then a couple of Midrashim. Al Nasosh, Pasuk Alf, she came in the Mitzudos to test L'Shaloi Devarim Sesumim, to test them with matters that are hidden. Koshe Hayidia, which are hard to understand, Dvarm Sasum, which are hard to understand, Livchoin Chachmoso im Yuchal Hagidam, to test Shlomo if he was able to decipher these difficult matters. Im Levava, Asher Histira Mikoladam, Vishama Bilavava, she hid in her heart deep secrets. Shlomo was able to uncover within her innermost secrets. That was Asher Histira Mikoladam, Vishama Bilavava, Velo Golsa Me'oz. She never revealed these secrets that it would be possible for Shlomo to know about it. And yet Shlomo, through his chokhmah, was able to read her mind. Okay, that's an amazing thing. A chokham is able to read your mind. It's called Dvarecha, Asher Shalei Oiso. Shlomo responded to all of her requests. Asher Lo Higila, Asher Lo Yuchal Hagila, that things, even things which, under normal circumstances, Pasuk says, there was nothing which Shlomo could not respond. Every question she had, Shlomo answered. And he revealed to her even things that she did not ask. Pasuk Dalid, and then she was impressed with his food, the food of his servants. Everyone, is this making that sound? What's that making that sound? That's the air conditioning. Right? That's fine, right? That sound is coming from where, the air conditioning? It's not the microphone. It's fine. It's in the back. Okay. It's fine. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. No, it's perfectly fine. It's fine. Everyone, she was impressed how all of his servants were positioned in a very specific location. Next one, everyone wore clothing based upon what? Based upon their function. They wore up the proper uniform. There's something to it. Something to a proper uniform. It's not like a casual Friday. It's not like that. There is indeed something to wearing the uniform, obviously. Mashkov, Hamisharsim, Lahashkas, Hamasubim, all the different drinks. No, it's fine. This is fine. Yeah, it's good. No, it's good. It's fine. It's fine. I think it's because there's...
Now it's on. You know what?
Now it's on? Because we're missing the clip. Maybe is that because the clip is missing? All right. Umashkov, Hamasharas, Umhashkas, Hamasubin, the different drinks, the Aliyasa, Derech Aliyasa, Lebes Hashem. The way he ascended to the Beis HaMikdash, Velohoya, Amra, Beloshen, Guzma, Lerov, Hatimoin, she no longer had any spirit. Okay, so the Mitzvah says this is an exaggeration. That she lost her breath. It's an exaggeration. Let's see Rashi. Some of the Rashi's pasuk.
We say in our language, we say, it took her breath away.
Took her breath away. Okay. Let's see Aleph Lenasai says Shlomo im emes mashe shama michachmasai uvaha Lenasai. So to test Shlomo if the chachma is correct, and she came to test him. Bechidos kimo achudino lochem chido de Shimshon, like the riddles we have in Sefer Shoftim with regard to Shimshon. Once she saw that Shlomo revealed to her everything, she then admitted to the report that there is no one in the world that is wiser than Shlomo. Ki emes shama, that the report is accurate. Uvitargum Megillas Esther, sham ksuvim ktsas v'nachidus asher sh'olosai, there it is presented a few of the riddles which she asked Shlomo. Umachal, she was impressed with the food. Umachal shulchanoi, barburim, okay, barburma, types of birds. Okay, types of what?
Ducks.
It was Thanksgiving. It must have been Thanksgiving weekend. Okay, barburim. So it must have been some type of exotic type of bird. Umine ma'adonim ha'oilim al shulchan l'roiv, different types of delicacies which are presented upon his table in abundance. So Moshe ha'avodav shkolechav yachad ha'yimaki res mekamina. This is a very interesting Rashi. Rashi is telling us that it's tremendous chachma. What's the chachma? The chachma is not, the Mesuzah just says everyone sat in their place. Shlomo was able, you know, it's one thing where Shlomo tells everyone where to stand. Like in this week's parasha, Yosef sees his 10 brothers, he takes out his goblet, and he makes believe he's doing nichush. He bangs in the goblet. Oh, Reuven, you sit here. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. He tells them to sit by their age. The people were the brothers were in shock. How did this person, the Mishnah Lamelach, Sofnas Panech, know to put us by his table in this particular order? How did he know this? Is it really true? There's a koyach to nichush. Was he able to do this? How was he able to do this? Of course, Yosef did this because Yosef knew who his brothers were. They were in shock. Okay, but that's one madreg where the person giving the orders knows what to do. The chachma was he was able to put in the minds of his servants that they also knew what to do. That's a much higher level of chachma. It's one thing to be a chachma for yourself, but it's a bigger chachma to be able to teach someone to give over chachma where they can be chachamim and they know exactly what they're supposed to do. Each one here shekol echad v'echad hoya makir es mikoymai. Every servant knew where to sit. Everyone knew their place. Kishahoy Yoshim ala Shulchan, when they sat at the table, the Roy Pnei HaMelech Todir, and then he says something here that's very interesting. The Roy Pnei HaMelech, those that would come in front of the presence of the king, Todir. Lohoy Echad Rashai, Leshev Bimokim Chaveri Kol Yimei Chayav. It's a very mysterious Rashi. What does that mean? There's no such thing as a promotion. If you come in, you come in on one level, you can't get a promotion to go up to a higher level. I don't know. That's what it says. That was the chachma of Shlomo. Everyone knew their place. Everyone was makir mekoymai, and everyone knew that for the rest of their lives, that's where they're going to sit.
I'm sure that with English royalty too. I mean, you hear Queen Elizabeth and all these servants, and they know exactly in a butler.
Yeah. Okay. So this was exponential compared to what went on in the presence of in the kings today. Allah has kavakava, what the chokhma, but it was more than just training. It was chokhma. Sometimes you go, you're impressed. Wow, very nice. I spent 5 years training how to be the butler for the queen. Very nice. But here, this was chokhma. Chokhma obviously means there's something more that's going on than just simple training. I don't know. Everyone was in their station. And there was no deviation. No one changed. This appears to be a chachma. Rashi keeps on emphasizing this idea, which to us is a bit bizarre. Why is that called chachma? And you have no chance, no opportunity of mobility to move up in the social ladder. If you're the assistant butler, that's what you're going to be for the rest of your life. You're never going to be moved up to become a chief butler. Why is that so? I don't know. But that's what it says here in this Rashi. Then we come to Umal Bushem. This is fascinating. It says here Umal Bushem twice. So first she was impressed that they wore beautiful clothing. The clothing fit their function. Then it says it a second time. Umal Bushem. Umashkov. Umal Bushem. It says it a second time. Why does it say it a second time? To indicate, as Rashi says, every single day they wore different clothing. They never wore the same shirt twice. Isn't that amazing? Loy kimalbu shehem shehem levushim hayoim levshim lemachar. They always wore different clothing. Umashkov, Roiv Mashkov, the abundance of his drink, Valiosai, Misilois Aliosai, the ramp of his ascent, Ashayala, Alehem Ibeso Lebes Hashem, Velohoya Boi Bar Rokshi, I no longer any breath, Shahisa Svush in Chachma Bechola Malchios Kim Baratsa, she thought she was misled to believe that the only Chachma, true Chachma was in her land. Chamoi Chachamecha, and like her wise men, Ki Artsa Bemizrach, because Shiva, the nation of Shiva, was in the far east. So Rashi here says some very, very interesting things. Rashi attributes the Chochma, is that recognized today, that the people in the Far East are wiser than the people in the West?
Oh, it's the Chinese. Whatever.
Chinese, are they?
That kind of.
Yeah?
I mean,
sure. Okay.
In those days, but today
is that true today?
Confucius,
okay, now Rashi,
the Orient.
So Rashi says some very interesting things. Rashi says, why were they wise? Because they, the Lefich, I don't know how to translate all the words. You have to help me here. Lefich chaim chacham b'yosel lefi shemistaklin b'mazolos. People in the Far East have a better look at the mazolos than people in the West. That's what it says. The perikama de rashana ledidon, the chase sihara yutcheshos, that for us, the sihara is covered for 18 hours. The eretz yishol b'marov. The marov bavel is in the west of bavel. So seemingly, because we are in the west, the constellations are not open to us the same amount of time that it can be seen by people who live in the Far East. I don't know how this is true.
Them at different angles.
Different angles.
When you look at star charts,
yeah,
depending on where you are in the world, you see them totally different.
So it seems here that being that they live in the Far East, they have an advantage. That's what Rashi seems. That's the gist of Rashi. It could be I'm mistaken. I'm not reading this correctly. But they have 18 hours. We live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is in the West, relative to Bavel and relative to these countries. And therefore the sun, the sky is covered for 18 hours, which gives us only a very small window of time to look into the stars and to become chachamim from the stars. Whereas the people who live in the Far East, they have more time, however it works. Their angle in looking in the sky is a much significant, has more hours in the day, and that gives them more time to delve into the mysteries of creation of this world and become greater chachamim. That's why her nation, they are from the wisest. And she comes to the West and she's shocked. How could it be that this little nation, Eretz Yisrael, does not have this advantage of looking into the stars the same number of hours as the people in the East? How do they become such wise men? This is why she lost her breath. Lididon, Michasu, us who live in the West, Nechasi Sihara, the sky is covered, Yud Ches Shos, for 18 hours. That's a lot of time. We can't see what's going on in the sky, in the stars. The Eretz Yisrael, B'mar B'bavel, because Eretz Yisrael is in the West of Bavel. V'zeh Shekosu V'atev Chochma Shlomo, yet doesn't matter. Shlomo's Chochma was not Chochma that came from Teva. Shlomo's Chochma was Chochma that came from Yirah Shamayim. That's this week's Parsha. E Novon V'chochem Kamocha, Yosef, Paro acknowledges that Yosef is this wisest man, and Yosef always attributes his Chochma, Elokim Yane Esh Shalom Paro. Es Elokim Ani Yare. Shlomo recognizes that his Chochma is not Chochma that comes from Teva, it's Chochma that comes from Yirah Shamayim, and the same thing is true with regard to Shlomo. His Chochma came from his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he was able to outdo the Chochma of Malcha Shiva. Shlomo's Chochma outdid the Chochma of the Bnei Kedem, people of the East. Where do we find the original people going to the East? We find that in Bereshis. In the Bereshis, it says that Adam's descendants, some of them, they went out to the east. We call Chochmas Mitzrayim, and furthermore, that Shlomo's Chochma was greater than the Chochma of Mitzrayim. Shahayu Mechashvim. Where did the Egyptians derive their Chochma from? Not from the Mazolois. They derived their Chochma from the Koyach of Kishof, from sorcery, from magic, black magic. Chartumim Ve'ashopim, and that's the Chochma Hoya. Betayer, there was Chocham Hoya Betayer, Kach, I don't know what that means. There was Mechashim, Chartumim, Va'ashopim. Those are three different types of black magic. And then this, I'm not sure what this means. The Chocham Hoya Betayer, I don't know what that means. There was chacham in Tyre. What's Tyre? Tsar? Tsar? I don't know what Tyre, how do you tie
it? It seems to be in a rush for
something. Okay, I don't know what that means. I really don't know. Hu loshen aravi v'yikar rabba parish ben hamitzri ki oif hashmaim yelo yechazakol za'ir v'chokmas tavari. Some type of oif hasham yelo yechazakol. This is the oirev, the chokmas.
Virtual. Vayori is virtual.
Virtual? Virtual computers? Technology. Chokma that comes from technology. Okay, basically what he's saying is there are... He's saying there are two basic chokmas. Then maybe it's a third, a virtual chokma. But the two basic chokmas are chokma that comes from mazolois and chokma that comes from kishuf. And Rashi is acknowledging that these produce results. These two forms of wisdom produce results. You can get a PhD. It's the real deal. Don't make little of it. However, the Chochmah of Shlomo is not from Mazolos, it's not from Kishuv, it's from Yiras Hashem. And that Chochmah will far outweigh the Chochmah, the other forms of Chochmah. Then it appears another Chochmah called the Oif, whatever this is. Ki Oif HaShamayim Yolech HaSakol Ze Oirei V'Chochmas. This represents the Chochmas Taviri. Next, okay, let's discuss a couple of ideas. First of all, when it says V'Lohoye Oid Baruach, I saw in the Mishpat Zezav, he brings down Chazal, what it means to say is that she was deflated from Gaiva. In other words, it's very common in this world that the wiser wisdom is power. There's an expression in English. Education is power, wisdom is power.
Knowledge
is power. That's the expression. Knowledge is power. The ultimate power is not, even the goyim recognize that. That you can have all of the nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, you will have, but the ultimate power in this world is knowledge. There's only that much you can do with force. So the fact that you have the knowledge, you don't have to actually use it.
Right.
Knowledge, even the nations of the world recognize that the ultimate power in this world is knowledge, and that leads to gaiva. Just like power, physical power leads to gaiva, knowledge also can lead to gaiva. And she, Chazal tell us, was not exactly the humblest person in the world, because she prided herself in having this knowledge. When she came to Shlomo and saw that Shlomo was far greater in Chochma than her, she became humble. She was humbled. She lost v'lohoye ba'oid ruach. Doesn't just mean that she lost her breath. Wow. She was amazed. She was deflated. Her gaiva was drained from her. And she humbled herself in front of Shlomo. She had a change of attitude because of what she saw. Okay, that's, yeah.
Gastro defines Tair as divination from birds.
Okay, very. So that's a form of kishuf. So that's just a continuation. It's a continuation of. It's the fourth type of magic. The fourth type of magic in Rashi. We have over here the mechashvim, the chartumim, the ashapim, and there is tire. Okay, four different types of black magic. That's one category. And the other category is chochma that comes from the mazolos. Okay, so this. Egyptians, yeah, right. The Egyptians. That's all part, right? The Egyptians. That's what their forte. That was their expertise. That's exactly what Rashi says. There was tremendous chokhmah in Egypt, but that chokhmah was derived from non-holy sources, and it was tremendous chokhmah derived in the Far East, and that chokhmah came from Teva. Teva seemingly means the mazolos. Shlomo's chokhmah came from Torah, and the chokhmah that comes from Torah outdoes the other forms of chokhmah.
So this black magic, we think, existed?
Absolutely. That's a fact. Absolutely. You're stepping to it. Not anymore. We lost it. It's been lost. Maybe it does. Maybe there are some experts out there. I wouldn't go and try. But who says it doesn't exist? It can very well be that it does still exist out there, this type of black magic, but it certainly
was
it did.
Special? Was Shlomo special because Hashem gave him that bracha? I mean, he was, yes. He was unique.
When Shlomo became Melech, the day he became Melech, he was Mevake. Hashem said to Shlomo, ask what you want. Ask for long years, ask for wealth, ask for success over your enemies. And Shlomo says, I don't, none of the above. The only thing that I want is Chachma. And Hashem granted him Chachma. And Hashem said, because you asked for Chachma, I'll give you everything. You'll have wealth, you'll have success, and you'll have what you want, you'll have Chachma as well. But it's obvious the Chachma of Shlomo came from Torah, did not come from black magic, and did not come from the sciences. The Mazalos represents the sciences. Mitzrayim represents Kishuf, black magic. Shlomo's Chachma outdid the Chachma of the Mazalos, which was the expertise of Malka Shiva. Malka Shiva was humbled, she lost her gaiva, she now was a humble person. That's one thing. Next thing it's mentioned over here is that she witnessed Aliyasa Yashayala Beis Hashem. So the Mefarshim explained that what she was most impressed with Shlomo is that everything that he did in his life, all of his chokhmah, all of his gashmis, all of his wealth and his life was all directed for higher purposes to serve Hashem. In the nations of the world, if you're wealthy, you enjoy yourself. You enjoy yourself for the sake of enjoying yourself. You enjoy gashmis for the sake of gashmis. You enjoy a good steak because it tastes good. That's where it ends. By Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing as enjoying gashmis for the sake of gashmis. Every pleasure you have is to use as a springboard to direct that pleasure, as use it as a tool to further serve Hashem. So this was what she was so impressed. He took his enormous wealth, his incredible chokhmah, he put he lived a life where there was an aliyosai. Okay, and Aliyosai doesn't just simply mean a ramp. Look in the symbol of the Pashtunim, they'll tell you it means there was some amazing high-tech ramp he built to go from his house to the Beis HaMikdash. You think today you'll find an elevator? You know, there are real high-tech elevators today. You walk into the elevator, facial recognition. You don't have to do anything. You come to the elevator bank, it knows you're there. And it knows which floor you want to go to because you work in the building, right? So you work in the building, and you have the Freedom Tower. They're going to be there in the Freedom Tower, 10,000 people, and it knows, the computer knows exactly which floor, and it makes a calculation. Well, there are 10,000. Everyone's competing to get into the elevator. It has an algorithm. We'll figure out exactly the fastest way to get everyone to their destination. Incredible chokhmah. What an elevator. That's called an aliyah. And the elevator is an aliyah. You think that's impressive? The aliyah, the elevator of Shlomo, was far, far more impressive than any high-tech elevator we have today. Through tremendous chokhmah, could be they had other technology that we're not aware of.
No, there was the throne.
The throne, exactly. Right. So this also, that was one form of technology he's strong, but this was another form of technology that was used for this aliyah. That's what the Mefarshim tell us. Technology, which we have no clue, it's lost from us what exactly it was. And she was overwhelmed. That's the simple interpretation of the Pasuk. But there's a much higher, much deeper interpretation of the Pasuk. The Aliyah is not an elevator, it's not an escalator, it's not technology, it represents his derech in life. Everything that Shlomo did was all for the purpose of going higher to the Beis Hashem. Take his chokhmah, his wealth, his power, his greatness, and use it as a means to elevate himself in spirituality. That is what impressed her so much. Va'aliyosoi asher yale Beis Hashem. His ascent, his she'ifa, to come closer towards serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you take that idea, when it looks to the Malbusheim, the Malbush refers to his midos. Chazal always tell us that a garment represents your character trait. She was very impressed that he was a refined, dignified person. Many of the wealthy people in the world, they're animals. They're very wealthy, but they behave like animals. They have horrible character. His malbush was refined, was perfect, was beautiful, was dignified every day for the setting. He knew how to behave himself in every different type of setting. That is what so impressed her about him and about the people that followed in the derech of Shlomo. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Who exactly was Malka Shiva? There is a Gemara. It's a Bereshis Rabbah. It's in the Gemara. The Gemara says that anyone that tells you that Malka Shiva was a woman, ain't elatoya. You're making a big mistake. It wasn't a woman. It was a man. It was a man. What does it mean, Malka Shiva? It's a Gemara. It means the kingdom of Shiva. This person that came, every time it says it in the feminine form, refers to the kingdom. A kingdom is called Malka, like a queen. Now, why is the kingdom referred to in the feminine form? Because it was a weak kingdom. They had some insecurity. They were just like a woman. In Chazal's understanding, a woman is weak. Okay, no, I'm not trying to insult any woman, any woman that's sitting here in the audience. But women, relative to men, are weak. There was some type of instability, some type of insecurity. There was a weakness in this malchus. They felt they were lacking something. That's probably why they had to come to Shlomo HaMelech. There was something more they were yearning for. If a person is secure, I'm not interested. I don't need to come to another country to fill in any gap. I'm not missing anything. I have everything. I don't have to go somewhere else.
But all the digdugs on the table.
Right. So the Farshim are all very challenged with this Chazal. Anyone that says that Malka Shiva was a woman is making a mistake. It means the kingdom. And it here refers to the representative of the kingdom who was a man. So the different answers. One answer is, in Echanami, the Pasuk is written in a very loose, very, very loose way. And when it says that everything is in the feminine, it means the kingdom, and refers to the king who is representing the kingdom. However, there is an answer, there is a very good answer to this question. Malka Shiva appears one other place in Tanakh. And that's in the beginning of Sefer Iyov. In Sefer Iyov, Iyov's children were taken away by Malka Shiva. So when the Gemara says, anyone that says that Malka Shiva was a woman is making a mistake, it's referring to Sefer Iyov. When Malka Shiva, the queen, Malka Shiva literally means the queen of Shiva. Malka, the queen of Shiva. The queen of Shiva came and took away the children of Iyov as captives. Iyov's grandchildren, whatever it says there, they took, at the very beginning of Iyov, took them away, wiped them away. It doesn't mean a woman, the queen of Shiva, came and took away the children of Iyov. It means that the kingdom of Shiva rose up and made war against Iyov and Iyov's country, wherever Iyov was living, and there were captives that were taken. That's what the Gemara is referring to. It's not referring to Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. In Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, indeed, we're dealing with the leader of the country. And the leader of this country happened to be a woman. It's not unheard of in the modern world. There are many women leaders in the modern world. Yeah?
I mean, why would Chazal have to question whether it could possibly be a woman who was challenging Shlomo? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I hear the question. Okay.
If you wanted to glorify Shlomo,
yeah,
you wouldn't say a two-bit country was in awe of what he saw. You'd say a very wise country was in awe of what
correct.
He saw. So it doesn't make sense that it's a weak country that is in awe of Shlomo.
A weak country. Why do Chazal want to say there's a weakness? Also, okay. Why mention the weakness? I don't know the answer. Okay. Why mention? Why refer to it as a in the feminine form to connote weakness? Why would we want to mention that? So that goes deeper into why Bichlal. Why is it recorded at all? We can be so Shlomo was the king for 40 years, and Shlomo he controlled the entire world. We can be certain every single day there were activities. You can go online. You can look at the past president's schedule for their dates. It's published online. What exactly Clinton did every single day of his 8 years in office? They have it online. Every single day, what he did.
Not really.
Well, there are certain there are classified sections.
That's offline.
Okay, they are class, but they have a schedule.
You get the log.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating what the Seder Hayom. They're very busy. Every single moment of the day is accounted for. They're meeting with different leaders and different dignitaries and different functions, different events and fundraising. They're a very, very busy day. Now, if this is true for Melech Basar V'Dam in the 20th century, or the 21st century, Allah has come to come. We only can begin to imagine how busy Shlomo was entertaining guests and doing things with millions of people, all different types of kingdoms and activities. And from all the things that will happen in the lifetime of Shlomo, we have to go mention Malka Shva. This can be said probably about a million kings. Hundreds, thousands of kings from all over the world that came to the Shlomo's palace, was given a tour, was given an audience, and they saw the Chachma, and they were very impressed. So why, Bichlal, do we have to mention Malka Shva? Obviously, there's something a lot deeper about Malka Shva that is important, that needs to be recorded, both in Sefer Melachim and Sefer. It's one thing to be recorded in Sefer Melachim. And now, we're going to Sefer Divrei Hayam, now we're really going to cut out a lot. Now, as we go through, we only have a couple of prakim left to the end of the Sefer. And from these prakim, we're going to go through two books. We're only up to Perek Yud in Melachim, we're only up to Perek Yud in Melachim Aleph. Perek Tes in Divrei Hayam corresponds to Perek Yud in Melachim. And now we only have about 20 prakim, and we have to go through two books. The remainder of Melachim Aleph and the entire Melachim Beis. So we're going to be very selective in what we choose to present in Sefer Divrei Hayam. Malka Shva made it. She was part of the cut.
Because she focused on the Chachma part.
So obviously there's a lot more to it. So
he's not just showing off here. I mean, he's demonstrating what a life dedicated to a Kaddish Baruch Hu is, and he's providing, he's increasing the
correct. So we have to understand one thing we mentioned is that it was recognized in the world at this point in time that she was a match for Shlomo. In other words, other nations, other foreign nations, okay, they were no big deal. They were nothing special as far as Chachma. Shlomo prided himself in his Chachma. She was his counterpart in the secular world. Just like we have Bilam. Lekam Kimoshe, it was never like Moshe, but in the Umos HaOlam, there was Moshe's counterpart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always fears the world, always conducts the world where there's Zeh L'umazeh, person as Bechira. You can choose this way or you can choose that way. When it came to Chochma, you had a choice. You go to Harvard or you go to Yale. If you want to go with Chochma, there's the Chochma of Shlomo, or there is the Chochma of Malka Shva. They were counterparts. And here we're coming to show that Shlomo prevailed. That's one approach. That's why it's very significant. There's another approach is, there are significant differences in how the story is presented in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayam. Now the gist of the idea is, this is Nevuah. Malka Shva, besides certainly there was a person, there was a queen, there was a woman at that point in time, but it's prophecy. It represents that in Yemos HaMashiach, in the end of days, there's going to be a kingdom that's going to dominate the world. Maybe it refers to America. Maybe it refers to the collective nations of the world. Malka Shva. It refers to the nations of the world, the wise nations of the world who have achieved great things through their Chochma, but they're weak. They're insecure. Look at America today. We see today how insecure we are. We see how we live in fear. This insecurity. Baruch Hashem, we have tremendous chesed. We have a lot of things going for us, but it's frightening. It's frightening. What's going to be? Can this really be sustained? Democracy is only, America is only 200 years old. A little more than 200 years old. I mean, 225 years old. That's nothing in history. That's not even a paragraph in history. It's nothing. Can this really be sustained? This mahalach, this derech hachayim? It's frightening. And you talk about the European nations, and you talk about China, and you talk about Russia, and you talk about third world nations. What's going to be? There's going to come a time. Shlomo HaMelech, he represents HaMelech Shehashalom Shaloi. He represents Mashiach. There's going to come a time when the Malcha Shiva, the nations of the world who have succeeded in accomplishing through Chochma, they're going to come to Klal Yisrael to learn from Klal Yisrael, to go and use their Chochma to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to be impressed how Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, they take their Chochma that comes from Torah and they use it as a way, as an aliyah, to come to the Beis Hashem. And they're going to try to emulate Klal Yisrael. This is going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach. Will they succeed or will they fail? Now, what's very frightening is they will fail. This does not work out well. There is great potential. That's what's so sad. Shlomo HaMelech, in many, many ways, is a very sad figure. Chazal goes so far to say they wanted to write about him that he has no chelik lo'olam haba. There's no one that had greater potential than Shlomo HaMelech, and possibly there was no one that did not fulfill his potential like Shlomo HaMelech. He did not succeed in bringing Mashiach. He made some fatal mistakes. He had too many wives, too much money, too many horses, too much power. He failed in many respects. He was too fast. He tried too hard to bring Mashiach too soon, too quickly, and violated a few of the laws on the way. This is what Chazal said, not making laws, the Chazal say. And one of the failures of Shlomo HaMelech was his inability to bring in Malka Shva under his wings. Malka Shva comes, she's very impressed, she's overwhelmed, and then what happens? She leaves. There's a very big difference. She left. And there's a very big difference in how she leaves between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, when we record the facts, the way they happened, we jump ahead a few psukim later on. Okay, let's just go further on. Jump down to Pasuk Yud Beis. Look at Pasuk Yud Beis. V'amelech Shlomo nosan l'malka shva es kol cheftza asher sho'ala milvad asher hevi'a l'amelech, besides what she gave the king. V'tahapoich, she turned. This is a very powerful word. This word does not appear in Sefer Melachim. V'tahapoich, she made an about face. V'telech le'artza, she went back to her land. Hi va'avodeha. And Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud. Let me read you the exact pasuk, how it's presented there. She gave the king all these things.
What is that?
Besides the gifts that she brought the king. She brought the king gifts.
Then
the pasuk says, V'atapoich, she made an about face. Okay, Asher, so here's the pasuk in Melachim. I'm reading you what it says there. V'amelech Shlomo nosan l'malka shava, es kol cheftza, Asher sho'ala, milvan asher nosan lo, besides the gifts that he gave her, Kiyat HaMelech Shlomo. Here it says Milvad Asher Hevia El HaMelech. So there is a different, it's reversed. Besides the things, so we'll discuss that later. We'll look at that later on. But here it says, Sefer Melachim Vatefen, she turned. Vatelech Le'artzahi Va'avadecha. She turned. Vatefen. Vatelech Le'artzahi Va'avadecha. Here it says, it's a much more powerful word. Vatahapoch. She made an about face. Vatelech Le'artzahi Va'avadecha. So what's the difference? So now this is just one little detail. There are many things similar to this between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, where Sefer Divrei Hayamim is much more drastic. Sefer Divrei Hayamim, if you read between the lines, it brings out the failure. It brings out at Shlomo how he was not successful in being mekarev her tachas kanfei hashchina. And furthermore, in a few moments, I'll just tell you to write out now, this is the famous Rashi in Sefer Melachim. What does Rashi say there? That he gave whatever she wanted. What else does she want? She wanted to live with Shlomo HaMelech. And they did. Shlomo lived with her, and they had a child. And what was it? The child that had a daughter. And that daughter was the great-great-grandmother, whatever it was, of Nebuchadnezzar. So Shlomo HaMelech lived with Malka Shva, and Shlomo HaMelech himself fathered the ancestor of the person who would destroy his Beis HaMikdash with Malka Shva. Now, is there a greater failure than that? That's the ultimate failure, that Shlomo HaMelech, instead of taking her, this woman who represents the Chochmah of the world, the wisest nations of the world, who acquired the Chochmah through the Mazalos, through the sciences, Shlomo tried to bring her under his wings, and he failed. Not only did he fail, one thing was a part of a failure. Okay, you don't like me, go home, we'll be good neighbors. We won't go to war with each other. she hated Shlomo, ad kidei kach, she became the great-great-grandmother of the one that would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So this, and whose fault was this? Chazal pretty much attribute this was the failure of Shlomo.
This is from
the Medrash? This is, yeah, it's Rashi. Rashi quotes all this stuff from Sefer Melachim.
Rashi,
you know, so what's the deeper message? The deeper message is, this woman certainly was a real woman. It was a real story. But the fact that it's being presented in Sefer Melachim is telling us that it's a prophecy. What is a prophecy? It's a dogma. This little isolated event is an example of what's going to happen at the end of days on a much larger scale. And the end of days, it's still written in Sefer Divrei Hayom, it's still written in Sefer Melachim on a more positive note. Because in Sefer Divrei Hayom, it's written in a negative tone. Because at the time, it was a disaster. It was a failure. But there's something to learn from this, that this event, this incident, will be repeated again, not on an individual basis, not with a single woman, but by a nation at the end of days, and then the result will result in positive, will be a positive result, not a negative result. This illustrates the difference between Sefer Divrei Hayamim and Sefer Melachim. Sefer Divrei Hayam is recording the facts the way it happened. There was a story. There's no prophecy. It's Ruach HaKodesh. There was a story. There was a woman. She was very wise. She was the wisest of all the women of all the nations, of all the countries of the world. She came to Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo tried so hard to be Makarver, take her tachas kanfei Hashchina. He almost got her. The last minute, the plan fell apart. She ran away. She was Mahapich. She made an about face. And she was pregnant from Shlomo. She had a child. And that child was the one that would ultimately be the ancestor of the one that would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What an incredible failure. Why then is it being recorded in Sefer Melachim in the form of prophecy? To tell us it was a failure at the time, because the time wasn't right. The conditions weren't ready yet. Shlomo wasn't ready. Shlomo maybe tried too hard, too fast to bring Mashiach, to bring it to me. But there's still a silver lining that this event indeed will repeat itself on a much grander, a much greater scale at the time of Mashiach, when there'll be a nation that will be the similar to who this woman was. It'll be Malkah Shiva. Kolaimer Malkah Shiva is an Isha Ein Elatoya, means on a deeper level that is going to be the Most Mashiach, a nation that will be the personification of this, will capture the personification of this woman, this queen, this woman, and they will come to Klal Yisrael, they'll be impressed by the one who represents Shlomo HaMelech, which is Klal Yisrael, the Chochmah of Klal Yisrael, and how they use their Chochmah as an aliyah to come Lebeis Hashem, and they will come Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, and indeed they'll stay. They're going to stay Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. They're not going to make an about face and produce a Nebuchadnezzar that's going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
There are two parallels I can think of to that story.
Yeah.
One is Timnah, who, rejected by Yaakov's king, okay, produces Amalek.
Okay, Avram. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Avram's king.
I mean, no. Achos lefan Timnah.
Okay.
And the second one is Orpah.
Exactly. Orpah, who leaves Rus. Exactly. Okay, exactly. But exactly, so that so you have a third, a trial. You have a third.
Arthur's husband was already himself on the way down. He wasn't Chochmas Yisrael. He was maybe the opposite of Chochmas Yisrael.
Okay, so indeed, you're saying very good.
But this is, who said it? This is all of the matter. She said it's.
What I'm saying now?
No, it's a Gemara that says she was a.
This is a Gemara, yes. It's a Gemara and it's a Bereshis Rabbah. I don't know where the Gemara is. Who's a Tana? I don't remember the name. There's a Tana. There's a Tana.
Only the Darshei Rishumos were rehabilitated his name. David couldn't. It says David tried to, you know, give him back, go to bat for him to give him his Olam Haba, because absolutely he lost his Olam Haba. And it says the Darshei Rishumos, that's the Lashon.
They brought him back.
They were able to find some reason
that Shlomo has a chelik in Olam Haba.
Yeah,
that's a scary thing. But It's a fact that what we're presenting in Sefer, we see it gives a whole new.
Who was it that Rabbi Akiva put it back into the?
They wanted to Yecheskel. They wanted to remove Sefer Yecheskel from the Chavad Al Tzivit Tam because they found contradictions in Sefer Yecheskel, and they had spent the whole night and many barrels of oil trying to figure out resolutions to the contradictions between Sefer Yecheskel and Sefer Yikra, and they told to restore Sefer Yecheskel to the Chavad Al Tzivit Tanach. There are many marachas like that. But the point we want to bring out over here is Sefer, the Nevi'im, is not a story of good news. This sheds a whole new light on Malkas Shavua. Malkas Shavua, you know why it's being presented with our original question? Why do we have to talk about Malkas Shavua? Talk about, there must have been tens of thousands of dignitaries and kings and important meetings, state dinners that happened in 40 years of Shlomo's life. Why do we have to single out this story of Malkas Shavua? You know the answer is when everything is said and done? Because this was the biggest disaster. That's why. All the other dinners, state dinners and lunches and meetings produced results. Something good came out of it. This meaning of Malkas Shavua was a churban. A terrible churban. What? It's been put in Divrei Hayomim to bring out the churban because Sefer, that's the whole point. Sefer Melachim, it's disguised. It's disguised as a prophecy, which means Divrei Hayomim. It's yes and no. It's the positive reflecting. You're guessing good. You got me good. There's both. Elu ve'elu. There are different dimensions. There are different layers. When we present hard facts, we present good things. But it's also serving as a counterbalance. It's a very important counterbalance to Sefer Melachim. Melachim is nevuah. It was a story that happened. That's the problem. Navi, you do a dogma. What happens, Navi? Achi Hashiloni. Take the garment, and we're going to rip the garment into 12 different parts. Why? Because they're going to be 12 Shvatim. We're going to divide it 10 and 2. You do a dogma, you do a Maisa, which is symbolic, represents something that's going to happen. The stories that happen in Sefer Melachim are real stories, they're real events, but they're prophecy. They represent major world events that are going to occur, Yimos HaMashiach. But what really happened at the time? The problem is, it's written in such, with such, it's been whitewashed to refer to what's going to happen in Yimos HaMashiach. How do we know what is the prophecy and what's the real thing that really happened at that point in time? That is why we need Sefer Divrei Hayom to serve as a counterbalance and to tell you that at the time, this was a major disaster. Shlomo HaMelech Shehasholom Shaloi wanted to bring Mashiach. He wanted to take his counterpart, Malkas Shavua, to take the Chochmah of the Umos Olam, to bring Yitachas Kanfei Hashchina as an aliyah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remove their Gaiva, Ein Baruach. Did it work? It maybe worked for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months. It worked. But when the day was over, what happened? She made an about face. She became an apikoiris. She went to the other extreme. And she went back home, pregnant. With who? With the mother of Nebuchadnezzar. That would one day come back and destroy Klal Yisrael. It was a major disaster.
Was a
Shvatz a partner? What? We don't know what Shva was. We have no idea who, what the nation of Shva. You're insinuating that Malkas Shavua was from Africa.
Did she convert? She was
no, it doesn't seem like they were Africans. It's the East, the Far East, Oriental. I don't know. I don't know if there's any. I don't know. I have no idea.
Case. No, they weren't old. The rulers of Egypt, though, in places like that weren't old.
You know, it's a madrash of there. A lot of it.
You had Cleopatra, was her father, was Philip of Macedon.
But that's much later. That's much, much later.
But I'm just saying, in those times, people weren't necessarily from that country.
Okay, so this is the basic hakdama to Malkas Shavua. It's not much more. We're up to Pasuk K. We'll leave it here with Pasuk K.